We're welcoming up John Bermel this morning, and John is from Haiti Teen Challenge. He's the VP of United States Operations. Sound right?
Yes.
Sounds good? Sweet. I'm just going to pray for John this morning, and we'll be off.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for John and for just working out the details of getting him here and just everything that you've put on his heart, everything that you're doing in Haiti, and just the gospel message that he's going to preach to us. I pray that we would receive it and that you would just speak through him boldly, clearly to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. As Kyle said, my name is John Bermel. I work for Haiti Teen Challenge. I'm the Vice President of U.S. Operations. My colleague, Andy Carr, is here too, and my lovely wife, Chris. So we're glad to be here. It is a privilege. This isn't the first time I've been in the sanctuary. We were here years ago for a wedding. Our old neighbor, Elise, married Jared, the Gebhards. And we were right in this room. It was amazing. So I love Chapel Hill. Feel a connection here. It is a privilege to be able to be here to share about Haiti Teen Challenge and to share the gospel, two things that are very fond and very close to my heart. Chapel Hill has been a faithful supporter of the Haiti Teen Challenge Ministries for a long, long time. And your pastor, Pastor Paul, serves on our board. He's our board chaplain, our board pastor, and his heart for Haiti is evident. He actually had lived there for quite some time. So thank you for allowing us the time to be here to tell you a little bit about Haiti Teen Challenge and how God is working in our ministry. You'll see there, the next slide, there we go, that's our Haiti Teen Challenge leadership team. So the thing about Haiti Teen Challenge is we are a Haitian-led ministry. The ministry happens in Haiti. It's run by Haitians. That is our Haiti leadership team. They give you their greetings from your brothers and sisters in Haiti. And Dr. Julio Volsi, who's right in the middle there with the blue tie on, he wasn't able to be here today, but he does want to give you his warm welcome and the thank you for the opportunity for us to speak with you today. He gives you his warmest wishes. Now, I'm going to try this. So my Haitian Creole, I'm just learning, but I'm going to give you the same greeting that that team would give you if they were standing right here beside me. Bonjour et bon dia, béni ou. So that's Haitian Creole for greetings and God bless. Yep. And if you catch me about a year from now, hopefully it's a little smoother than that. But we can only hope, right? Through God's grace, God can do all of that. So Pastor Paul asked me to do a little bit. He said, hey, just let people know what Haiti Teen Challenge is, what's going on, how the Lord is working. And so that's what I want to spend the time doing with you this morning. And so Haiti Teen Challenge, our mission. So next slide there, please. For those of you that aren't familiar, so Haiti Teen Challenge is a residential recovery ministry in the Port-au-Prince, Haiti area. We actually are in a community called Delmas in the Port-au-Prince area. It's the only residential recovery program in the country of Haiti. It's a place where troubled young men and women, young men who have been in gangs and suffered addictions, young women who are typically in prostitution and suffering addictions, where we bring them, and they're transformed by Christ and then equipped to be catalysts for change in our country. So our mission is this. It's to build godly leaders of integrity and empowering Haitians to rebuild their nation for God's glory. Our heart is not for Haiti to become a copycat of America, but for the ministry to remain uniquely Haitian-owned and Haitian-led. And this is hard to find in Haiti. Most places that have a ministry in Haiti, they last about 18 months. Because somebody from America will go and set something up, but they won't train and they won't equip the people to keep that going after the people who set up the ministry leave. For Haiti Teen Challenge, it's the exact opposite. This is set up for the Haitians to succeed. And what you see is you see the values that we bring into this ministry. The values that are lived out on the U.S. side and the values that are lived out on the Haitian side. Compassion. Christ-like love in action through the power of the gospel. That is what's going to change Haiti. Not the NGOs, not the groups that come in, but the power of the gospel will change Haiti. And we're changing that one life at a time. Honesty. We're honest in all decisions and communications, internally and externally. We honor the Lord above all and seek Him through word, prayer. We trust the Holy Spirit and act together. We thrive on a prayer-first culture in Haiti Teen Challenge, where when we're going to do something, we pray, and that's the first thing that we do. Respect, Christ-like love of others, selfless, sacrificial, honest, and encouraging relationships. We don't compete, we cooperate, and we do it for the good of the ministry and for the good of Haiti. Integrity. We are building leaders that are above reproach, faithful, acting in a manner that's worthy of praise. That when somebody sees a Haiti Teen Challenge graduate in their community, they know there's something special about them, and they lift that up. Servanthood. We serve humbly. We don't seek recognition or praise. We just serve the Lord humbly. You'll see a couple stories for that today. And then finally, trust. We're godly stewards, and we wisely use the authority and the resources God entrusts to us. And this is very important because we are very much, we rely on the Lord to show us what we need to do, and then we rely on the Lord for the resources to do that. And every one of those resources, whether it's time, whether it's dollars, are spent frugally, Lord, frugally, that we would just honor the mission that we have. So a little bit about the state of Haiti. This is important to understand as you hear more about the ministry and you hear about what's going on in the prisons. Just a little bit more about the state of Haiti. So Haiti is that country that shares an island with the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic on one side, Haiti on this side. In Haiti, it's a tough situation. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Gangs, they control about 75% of the country. They're moving into the rural areas. I've been reading articles lately where there's more and more gay movement. They had really kept it to the major metropolitan areas. They're starting to move more and more into the rural areas. And that's because there is some pressure on them in some of the more metropolitan areas. So they're moving. And it's really just devastating for the Haitians. You know, we walk to work or go to work, and we have safe travel on good roads. We don't have to worry about getting pulled over and kidnapped. If a Haitian's going to work, that's one of the prime things on their mind. As they're living in their homes, these gangs are going from home to home to home, and they'll just walk in the front door, look at the family there, and say, "You're out of here. This is our house now." That happens all the time. We have a facility that if that were to happen, we have a place that our employees and our people that are part of the ministry can go to. But imagine that. You're sitting at home, minding your own business, watching a Vikings game maybe. Somebody just walks in and says, "This is our house now." But we know this. We know that the Lord is stronger than all that. Julio, Dr. Volsi, shared a story just recently of a person that is a relative of an employee in Haiti Teen Challenge. They were sitting in their house, and the gang members came in and were going to try to take the home over. And as this was going on, one of the gang members said, "Stop, not this one." Couldn't really explain why, but he said, "Not this one. We're leaving this one alone." And they left. And there is no reason for that other than the countenance of Christ on the faces of those people. So there is a way to combat that. But that's really the situation in terms of gangs. And there is no government right now. All the elected leaders, their offices have expired, and most of them have fled the country. Most of them have gone to other places. We're trying to build godly leaders of integrity who will stick with their country no matter what. Most of the current leaders have just left. They just fled. It's like made an oath to serve the country and left. Right now, there's a transitional presidential council. It's really ineffective. Their job is to prepare the country for elections next year. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. And then, if that isn't enough, if the violence situation isn't enough, and the government situation isn't enough, there's Hurricane Melissa. I don't know if any of you have been tracking Hurricane Melissa at all. But it was hit bearing down on Haiti. And it affected the southern part of the country. And I did talk with one of my colleagues in Haiti, and he said in Port-au-Prince area, there was just a lot of rain. So they didn't really suffer an ill consequence for the hurricane. But the southern part of the country did, and it's bearing down on Jamaica. Melissa's bearing down on Jamaica. So please, let's hold our brothers and sisters in Jamaica in prayer as Hurricane Melissa bears down on them. So, hearing all that, and those are just little snippets. It's easy to look at Haiti and to freeze, to not even know where to start, or even, do you start? Is this even worth it? What you hear, though, is from the media. And the media is in the business of creating an image that draws attention for sponsors. So they want to draw attention. They want you watching their station, their outlet, their everything. They're in it for attention, not transformation. It's a business. But when we take the time to listen with our ears and our hearts, and not listen with the news, the environment can seem insurmountable when we listen with the news, when we listen with our ears and not our hearts. So it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit as we look at Haiti and as we seek to find how to transform that country like we are with Haiti Teen Challenge. So that reminds me of a Bible story. If you have a Bible with you, open it up to Acts chapter 10, 17 through 20. So this is a story. If you remember earlier, just before this story, Peter was on a rooftop and he had a vision. And a vision was of this sheet coming down and there was all kinds of food in it. And the Lord told Peter, go ahead and eat. And Peter goes, I can't. This stuff is not pure according to the law. And the Lord said, what I have created is good. Go ahead and eat all of it. So that vision is what took away and moved away the Jewish food laws. So this passage comes just after that vision. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. So in this little snippet, Peter had just seen the vision with the sheet. He got a whole bunch of information, but God knew that Peter didn't need more knowledge. Folks, we're smart. We watch the news. We listen to things. We read. We don't need more knowledge. Peter, he needed a new way of seeing. As he prayed, heaven opened, and what followed changed his understanding of how far grace can reach. If we confine our understanding of God's grace and God's work in a situation to what we see on the news or what we see in the newspaper, that's really a limited worldview. But when we start to see, as Peter learned to see, not with our ears, but with our hearts and through the Holy Spirit, we see how far grace can reach. And we see that really nothing's impossible at all. And I personally, I wonder how often I limit God's work to the boundaries of my comfortably curated comfort zone. I go to a grocery shop at the same place, stop for the same coffee, I get into a routine, I get into a rut, and I feel really comfortable about it. Then I come to church on Sunday, and I feel really good about that. It's part of my routine. And I just wonder, as I step out of my comfort zone like Peter did, can you imagine how hard it would have been for Peter to preach about the new food vision that he saw? And to do that to the people that have a lot invested in enforcing those laws? So think about Haiti in that way. The most impoverished country in our hemisphere is just an hour's flight away from the United States. Folks, this isn't on the other side of the world. This isn't some place that you'll probably never, ever have the ability to go to. It's just an hour's flight away. Hop on a plane in Miami, and in about an hour, you're sitting in the conditions that I described earlier. Just let that sit for a second. Just let that rest, just for a second. How close this is. As a matter of fact, you can probably see similar stuff right here in the United States. There's a Haitian diaspora. They live all over the world. Some of them live right here in Minnesota. These are your friends and neighbors. This is not out of reach. And we can have an impact, and we are having an impact with Haiti Teen Challenge. But we need to see the situation newly. Not as an exasperating, what am I ever going to do, but how is the Lord working and how can I participate in that? The Haiti Teen Challenge Ministry is particularly relevant. So we serve young men and women ages 18 to 24. Now in the country of Haiti, the population is about 12 million people. Listen to this, 70% of those 12 million people, 8.4 million people, 70% are age 30 or younger. 70% are age 30 or younger. It's interesting, when I go over there, it's like it's all young people. Anywhere from that high to young adults. It's all young people. Haiti has been called a fatherless country. These young men who go into gangs, they're fatherless. That's the Haiti Teen Challenge Choir in Haiti. Now, it isn't like the Minnesota Adult and Teen Choir, Adult and Teen Challenge Choir, where they go from church to church and sing and sing. This is just, it's the students, and they sing for worship in Rendezvous Christ Church, which is associated with Haiti Teen Challenge. So think about that. The world will tell us the situation in Haiti is hopeless, but our hearts tell us differently. When we start looking for the Holy Spirit, we start to see that there is a difference in a hope. And what you see on that screen is evidence of a new hope. You see the 8.4 million youth that we see in Haiti, they see little hope and very few, if any, options for their life. They've lived on the streets, and they just don't have a lot of options. So gangs, these young men that join gangs, the young women that go into prostitution, They end up there because those environments offer three things. They offer security. They offer a sense of belonging. Imagine trying to navigate this without a sense of physical protection. The gangs offer that security. Imagine you're a parentless or fatherless child, and you have no sense of belonging to anything. The gangs offer that. And if you're hungry, any human being is going to do what they need to do to get some food and to get a place to sleep. So they offer security, belonging, and provision. The gangs offer it always, 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 always in exchange for something else. And you can only imagine what that is. But now, through Haiti Teen Challenge, through the grace of Christ, thankful for people who are seeing the situation differently, these young men and women have another option, Jesus. I call it the second option. They didn't have that option before. When they were in a gang and they were sitting here, and somehow they got to Haiti Teen Challenge, whether it was through the courts, through a relative, 12 months, and they come out the other side, transformed young men and women. And then we spend 6 months teaching them, providing educational opportunities, providing internship opportunities, so they have some kind of way to make money and to be productive as they leave. So in Christ, in their brand new option, guess what these people, young people, have? They have security, they have belonging, and provision. And Christ offers that in exchange for nothing. So Haiti Teen Challenge was founded on a foundational scripture, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 and 9. And I'll read that for you real quick. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All glory for anything that these young men and women are doing through this ministry goes to God. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the offspring the Lord has blessed. Haiti Teen Challenge was founded on 7 purposes. The poor, to serve the poor, the afflicted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew's gospel says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To proclaim liberty, the Jubilee, each at some point shall return to their property and their clan. Haiti, no matter how devastated it is, politically and safety-wise, is home for a lot of people. The opening of the prison, and you'll hear about this in just a second. So it's not just freedom from confinement, but more than that, it's spiritual freedom from the suppression of sin and Satan. That heavy pushing burden is lifted as the prisons are opened. Year of the Lord's favor. This is a new era of blessing. You may not know it, but Haiti's nickname in French is the Pearl of the Antilles, if that's how you pronounce that. During the colonial era, this was the most prosperous colony in the world. It had immense agricultural output, a lot of coffee, a lot of sugar plantations. It was beautiful, stunning, and the Lord wants to bring it back to the Pearl. The day of vengeance of our God, Christ is returning and all will be made right. The oaks of righteousness, the work of God is going to be a grand, fruitful, and lasting work in Haiti. And they shall build up ancient ruins. The afflicted, through Christ, become creative restorers of the sad situations they've had to endure. Haitians will rebuild their country for God's glory. A couple examples of how those things are being lived out. First one is the prison ministry. So the picture that you see behind me, this is a real picture taken from a window in a Haitian prison. This is how the Haitian prison system works. You go to jail for something, maybe you get caught for shoplifting. You don't go to like the Dakota County Jail like we would here, you go to a prison. Sometimes people are in prison for 10 to 12 years before they see a judge. Imagine a young 16-year-old getting put in prison for 12 years, what they're learning in that time in this system. They're cramped quarters to the point that inmates have to take turns sleeping or even sitting down. They'll pack twice as many people in a room as there are places to sit or sleep. And they have to literally take turns. And when it's your turn to not sleep or sit, you're standing for hours and hours and hours on end. So we at Haiti Teen Challenge were called to provide ministry to these prisons, to provide food, to provide medical care and hygiene packs. The first time we did this, we served over 600 meals. We gave away a number of packs, and people came to Christ. What this resulted in is a formalized ministry program that it's a joint program between Haiti Teen Challenge and Rendezvous Church, which we work closely with. The biggest miracle is this. This ministry, this prison ministry, got the attention of the United Nations, the U.S. Embassy, the Transitional Council. It got all that attention. And now, Haiti Teen Challenge has full access to the Haitian prison system. There's no other place that has what God has opened, the door that God has opened for Haiti Teen Challenge, to minister in the prisons. And this isn't only ministering to the prisoners. Haiti Teen Challenge students get to live out their mission. In Matthew's Gospel 25:36, it says this. It says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is such a critical part of what Haiti Teen Challenge is doing to transform young men and women in the country of Haiti. I was in prison and you came to me. We are coming to these prisoners. Next page. This is Morenci Wood Theory. His journey is one of radical transformation. This is just a perfect example of how young men and women in the country of Haiti are transformed for Christ. So Morenci was born to a single mother. He was abandoned by his father, a very common story in the country of Haiti. He faced a life of instability. After his mother's death, when he was just 11 years old, he resorted to stealing to survive. People will do whatever they need to do to survive. And he resorted to stealing. At age 18, he landed in prison. He was incarcerated in 2019. Morenci's lucky. He saw a judge in 2023. It's only 5 years. God met him there in prison. The judge released Morenci to Haiti Teen Challenge because the judge understood what value this ministry has in people's lives. He encountered Christ at Haiti Teen Challenge, and he graduated from our program as a changed man. He was once called the little thief. He's now a man of integrity and purpose. So in 2025, just this year, he returned to that same prison, not as an inmate, but as a godly leader in Haiti Teen Challenge's prison ministry. Can we just say thank God for that? Amen. Yeah. This, folks, is Saul to Paul. He was a criminal, a thug, and now he is ministering in the prisons. That God gets the glory for that. That's it. And it's really, really cool for me to be part of that investment in changing young lives like Morenci's. Every Teen Challenge student at some point in their life is asked, when did you see me? Some 11-year-old kid with no mom and an absent dad. Imagine him wandering the streets, just waiting for someone to see him. Unfortunately, in Haiti, a lot of times it's the gangs that see you first. So today is a call to see them in a new way, in a Holy Spirit way. At a minimum, I just ask that when you're praying for the country of Haiti, that you would just pray that people be seen and that God would open doors for them. Just like Peter, we have the opportunity to see heaven opened and how far grace can reach. So this is a challenge for us in the United States, isn't it? We're blinded by comfort. It's difficult to step out of our carefully curated comfort zones and uncertainty in the life of the Spirit. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, he said this, "As you perhaps know, I haven't always been a Christian. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that." They said this, "If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." So as believers of Christ, we're sitting here today going, "Lord, help us to see things, not as the world wants them seen, but as you want them seen. Help us to see Haiti, not as the world sees it, but as you see it." It's been called lots of things. Yeah, there we go. This is my favorite picture. Okay, so I'm a retired cop, 33-year law enforcement person, emergency management, security, police work. This is Haiti Teen Challenge's security team. So they provide security for all of the HTC campus facilities and for Rendezvous Christ Church. They're all graduates of the program. You know what that means, right? They're all thugs. Every one of these guys. Ex-addict gang members, lives transformed by their new option, Christ. And now they provide safety and security for the ministry that saw them, took them in, and showed them Christ. Another true Saul to Paul transformation. And I'm telling you, you never feel as safe and comfortable as when you're with these men. They can give a look. Like, as a cop, I tried to perfect that for years and I couldn't do it. They give a look and I've seen people just turn the other way. They're gifted, they're talented, their lives are transformed for Christ. They see that Christ is providing them a sense of belonging, a sense of protection, and a sense of provision. It's my favorite picture. I love these guys. I had the privilege of being able to outfit them and train them when they were just getting started. I went out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the Holy Spirit. Our last picture here. At the end of January, this coming January, I'll be in Haiti to watch a graduation. 64 young men and women will graduate from the program. They'll transition to into our aftercare mentoring program that provides education and experience resources in support of the transformative work the Lord has done in their lives. Every graduation, we do a foot washing ceremony. These are all, the people on their knees are all the Haitian leadership team. And the people sitting are all, in this case, young men, but there's young women too. And their feet are being washed by the people who have ministered to them for the last 12 months. It's really, really, really powerful. And folks, the people you see, their feet being washed, are the future leaders of Haiti. Part of our 10-year plan is to have a young Haitian in government. We'd love to see him in the president's office. But these are future leaders, godly leaders of integrity, who are going to rebuild their nation for Christ. It's a thrill to be part of how God is changing Haiti for his purposes and claiming this country for his purposes. He fully intends it to be the pearl of the Antilles. That's what God wants. And this is an opportunity. We all have a unique opportunity to be part of that. The first thing I'd ask is that we just pray for Haiti. When you get on your knees at night and you're getting ready to go to bed, say a prayer for Haiti, for God's transformative work, for protection, for provision. You have the ability to talk with Pastor Paul, learn more about Haiti. Is there something specifically I can do, something specifically I can invest in financially? Those are probably the two best ways to support what is going on for these young men and women in this, I call it an amazing country. You might hear people in this country that are going to call it an armpit, an asshole. No, this is a beautiful pearl of a country that is being changed person by person by person because of God's Holy Spirit and the grace that he affords. Let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Haiti, Lord. Continue to protect them. Continue to provide for them. Lord, I pray for this congregation at beautiful Chapel Hill Church, Father, that they would continue to invest in this ministry, Lord, and that they would continue to pray for this ministry. Lord, give us all a prompting on what we can pray for. And give us all a prompting on how we can best support Haiti Teen Challenge and your work in transforming that country. We pray this in your wonderful, powerful name, Jesus. Amen.